Hey guys, thanks for joining us. We are on week four of our series called On Target, and exciting series. We've been talking about discovering God's purpose, and I've got my friend Nick here, and we're going to be talking about Nick's story. But just to give you guys a quick little recap, what we've been talking about these last 3 weeks has been all about God's purpose. So first of all, in week one, we talked about just discovering God's design for us. You know, we have a purpose and a calling, and it's part of our design is God's image. We have a calling and a purpose for being here on earth. And that was a really good segue into week two, where we talked about the great commandment of love God and love one another, and then the great commission, making disciples, right? And then last week, we talked about just submitting to that, you know, getting to a place where we submit and realize God's big picture, the purpose, why we are on this planet, you know, and being obedient to that. And so, like I said, got my good friend here, Nick Sasala. We've known each other for at least 10 years.
10 years, thinking. Baby. Yeah. I think it's 10.
And he's a little teenager.
17, 18 years old.
Oh my gosh,
man.
It's been forever. But, Justin and I both have known you for quite a while. And, when we were talking about doing another real talk to wrap up this series, quickly you came to mind just because, you know, we've been able to see your journey through this, you know, and it's a little bit different, you know, and you guys will hear about it here in a minute of, you know, realizing God's purpose and then, well, wait a minute, did I?
Yeah.
Right? And it's a really cool story. So I'm really excited. Thank you for being a part of this.
I'm honored
this
to
is
be
excited.
Here.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you a few questions and just kind of get you into your story, but just really take it from there is really the hope for today. So I thought to get us started, we talk about, you know, when did you realize, you know, younger, you know, and probably in your younger years, you know, what God's purpose was for your life? Like, when did that aha moment start to come? What did that look like for you when you shifted from maybe like a typical worldly perspective of what your life's going to be?
Yeah.
To, wait a minute, God's got a purpose for me. Like, what did that look like for you?
So for me, I mean, I grew up in the church, so I was around Christians all the time. My parents, thank God, are believers. And when I was 7, all my friends were like, hey, I want to be a firefighter, a police officer. My wife says that she wanted to be a clown, which is weird. But for some reason, I used to really, really admire the pastor that was over our church. Mm-hmm. And so I always, even at age of 7, I was like, I want to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so ever since, like, as I grew up, I kind of had this thought in the back of my head that this must be God at some level trying to say something to me. And so I took that into my teenage years, volunteered like crazy at the church you and I are both at, met you. And then that led me into, you know, going to Geneva College to study biblical studies, to then get into student ministry for almost 10 years. And so that's kind of where I felt this whole purpose was, me to be in full-time ministry, me to be involved at some level. And specifically for me, I really felt and still feel this in some levels of my life. With young people, just for them to understand what their purpose is and their calling in their life.
Right. So, yeah. Like, some of your, like, tendencies, your skills, just things that you were good at, did that kind of play into it?
I mean, because I'm
you're
always...
You're a talker, and,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
you're relevant,
sure,
and, you know...
Yeah, relevant, maybe not much anymore. I think a lot of it did... I mean, I really believe God's given me the gift of speaking or preaching, right, of encouragement, those things, I've always been able to attract people to myself, and so I think that's what really led me to wanting to be around students, because I feel like they're the most overlooked generation. Mm-hmm. Every generation, they're always the most overlooked, and I think that's what God really why God pushed me in that direction was, you know, using my gifting of being able to speak in public and be comfortable with it. I can be everybody's best friend if I really wanted to, even the guys that kind of just everybody avoids. I like being around that, which is how I found you. No, I'm kidding.
So we're
just
friends,
kidding,
right?
Just kidding. That's how you found me, schmuck that I am, dude.
So I know, like, so you went into ministry with the perspective of you thought you had it figured out.
Yeah,
right?
This,
like,
is it.
This is what I like. This is what I'm good at. This is what I enjoy. And so you went into, like, actual ministry as your job with that perspective. So when did you realize that you were off track, you know? And what I mean was, you know, my perspective was this, but I realized it was something different that God had for me. And what did you learn through all that? I know that's a lot of your story.
But I know. No, but it's good.
What did that look like?
It's good. And you helped me a lot through a lot of this, which has been, it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the whole idea of like, okay, my purpose has to be full-time ministry because that's what every godly man or godly woman wants to do with their life. And, you know, I had the mentality growing up that if you didn't go into full-time ministry, there was something, you know, you were a little too worldly. There's something like, I kind of held that over people. And so I kind of, I was ignorant and I was incredibly prideful about it. And so I thought, this has to be it. And my wife would come to me, who's a full-time photographer, and she would say, you know, at least you get to do ministry and every single day you're changing people's lives by sharing the gospel. And I used to, like, literally, I would think, like, you're absolutely right, 100%. I would hate to be in the position you're in.
Yeah.
And that all came crashing down nearly 2 years ago when I really, I felt God calling me to be obedient and to leave full-time ministry behind. Something that I never dreamed I would do. I was in a position at the church that I was at where I honestly felt like I could make it to a position of leadership that would be overseeing others, which is what I want to do. I want to be a leader. Preaching in front of thousands of people every single week. I thought that I had the dream and this was going to be it. I'm 26 years old, figured it out already. Wow, God's purpose is fulfilled in me. And then I just started, the Spirit started changing things in my heart. There was things I read, there was people I talked to, and something didn't feel right at all. And I don't know what it was. And it wasn't against full-time ministry because clearly, like Paul talks about the importance of having full-time ministers and paying them for what they're doing in church and everything, right? But for some reason, I didn't feel that God wanted me there anymore. And that was an earth-shattering experience. You knew that. You've mentored me for years, dude. It was scary.
It was scary.
Scary. Because where am I going to get a job that anybody is going to want? Some guy that was a youth pastor, which half the people in the world don't know what that is, or more. And I, do I have the skill set to do anything other than I'm doing right now? And so the earth-shattering moment came, and it was incredibly earth-shattering. My wife actually felt it as well, and that's when I realized that it was God pulling us and and saying, hey, I'm going to reveal this to you. Will you be obedient to it? And will you follow what I'm going to take you out of? And so that's when he pulled us out of full-time ministry. And I never thought it would happen. I thought that I would continue on this path and completely the opposite of what I imagined.
So how ironic on paper that God's revealing his purpose for your life is away from ministry.
I know.
Right?
You're right.
So once you realized that, you started taking those steps, right? Like, I'm going to obey. I mean, that's huge. You know, that's something that we haven't yet talked about in this series, and I'm really excited that you're talking about
let's
that.
Talk like about it. I love it.
Obeying God as we're saying, God, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? God's like, he's telling us the whole time. He's revealing it in his word. God, you know, what's my calling? God's saying, I've got you at a job where there's people with you that need to hear about me. God, what's your calling for me? Hey, you've got neighbors. You know they're not saved. I've got you there for a reason. God, what is my calling? You know, we're not obeying that step that's right in front of us. So that's what you did. So once you realized the scariness of it and you started to step out of that, what did that look like? Like, continue us in that story.
That's good. You know? Yeah, we jumped out of, I gave my 2 weeks in and I just prayed and I applied for a few jobs, not ones that I just really was not excited about, but I was like, whatever, God, whatever you want. We started a house church in our home. For about a year and a half, we did that. So it's only recently, since March, that we moved on to helping with a with another church plant in the area. And so I really felt God saying, okay, obedience is leave this and just trust me. I want you to trust me. Just pick up right here. Start doing this thing with this small group of people in your house and see what happens. So we jumped in. We started doing that. We saw God changing just the way that our our perspective of everything. We had to go through months and months of just kind of the bitterness, like for me, because I thought I arrived, like this is God's purpose. You're going to be a youth pastor forever. You're going to graduate with a biblical studies degree and then maybe be a lead pastor. And none of that came true. And maybe it still will. I don't know. That's not really my desire anymore. My desires have changed to be more the Lord's. But, you know, I got a job. It was a whole God thing. I won't go into it, but I got a job at the YMCA in Cranberry as the membership director. So I'm leading people. I'm around unbelievers constantly. And it's the most amazing thing in the world because I'm realizing now as God pulled me out of this, this season that I thought was my purpose, that my obedience to him was far more important than any purpose that I could perceive that he was giving to me. So even though it felt like, Nick, you've arrived, this is it, this is your purpose, these students love you, these leaders love you, you're good at preaching, my purpose was not greater than the obedience God was calling me to. And so it's been cool. You know, I've told you this, I've probably told some people even that might be just listening to this thing, but I've been able to share the gospel with multiple people on my team. Something that oddly is foreign for me because I was around Christians my whole life. Literally, like, and it's not a knock on full-time ministers, but it's hard to get out of that bubble when you're in it. And the whole thing you said, my neighbors now, they're my ministry. Like, the people right next door, my wife and I are trying to buy a house in Zeeley, and it's going to be more expensive because it's rising in prices. We want to buy a house in Zeeley because we believe God's called us and has put us here, and we want to be obedient. We'll pay for it. We'll do whatever he wants us to do so that we can minister to our neighbors. You know, and so that's kind of been like, I think that's been some of the most challenging, but honestly the most worthwhile things, like you said. Like, follow God in obedience. Where is it? How do I know what my purpose is? How do I know what my calling is? It's in his word. Like, you're not studying it. You know, not to get ahead of myself.
No, I mean, speaking of God's word, I mean, there's certainly examples, right, of, you know, realizing how, you know, our perspective of God's purpose in our life will change. God's purpose in our life doesn't change. Not to misunderstand, but our perspective, our realization of God's purpose changes, right? It changed for you. I mean, you said a little bit earlier something, you know, about when I had to realize my desire was different than God's purpose, I think is the words you used. And so, you know, talk about that, you know, from a biblical perspective. Give us some word, man. You know, bring it to us.
Yeah, so you think about David, right? We get the whole story of David and Goliath, King David, a man who loved the Lord with everything in him. From a young age, he loved the Lord. He even loved the Lord to the point of being obedient to shepherding sheep, which is a very lowly job, but it's where he started. Whenever we think of David and Goliath, the first thing you think about is this guy who shows up at a battlefield ready to beat the crap out of Goliath and chop his head off. And we read sermons and we read devotionals and all of these are surrounding, be like David, face your Goliath. When if you actually look at what happens biblically, all David did was be obedient to his earthly and heavenly father by showing up at a campsite where a battle was going was happening a few miles ahead of them to deliver news to his brothers on how his father was doing, to give them food, and to bring a report back. So he was essentially being obedient to being an errand boy for the Lord. That's it. He didn't have any idea of what was going to happen. He had no idea he would get a slingshot. He had no idea that the king would invite him into his tent and he would say, hey, you're the only one that's got enough guts to do this. Yet David followed step by step obedience, not his purpose. If he would have just followed a purpose, it would have been a completely different outcome. But he believed that his obedience was much more important than what seeking his own purpose. And so God led him to into the tent and with Solomon or with Saul. And then Saul gives him all this stuff and he says, no, the Lord's going to take this. And it leads to what we see as, you know, David and Goliath. What a misconstrued story, right? Where we think I have some form of my destiny by just following God's purpose. But his purpose is found in our obedience. Another story is really, you know, bring it to newer times. So 2,000 years ago when Saul is converting into Paul. Saul is being, he's living his so-called purpose to God by destroying Christians. You know, he's flogging Christians, putting them in jail, putting them to death. And he's doing this all under the name of Judaism. I'm the best Jew. And he goes on to write that he had done everything correct as a Jew. He had fulfilled his purpose. He was a preacher preaching to thousands. He was, you know, everything he ever could imagine. And yet he was still disobeying God. He was still completely outside of the purposes of God. And so what's God do? Jesus comes along as he's going from one town to another and completely blinds him and shuts down his entire purpose immediately and says, your next purpose, or actually, really, your next piece of obedience is to just go to this town. You're blind for 3 days, and a servant's going to meet you there. And so Christ, at that point, pulled him out of this purpose that he thought he had had. And he led him just by saying, I need you to be obedient. Not, let me show you what's beyond the horizon. Let me show you what's past these peaks in this valley. But you are going to follow me simply because I ask you to. And that's how I feel like...
I was going
to
say, it sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Right? Yeah. I mean, even with your life story, man. Come on. It's like, it's incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incredible.
I love what you said. You know, God's purpose is found through our obedience. I mean, that's the meat right there. It really is.
But we don't... Like, that's something we just can't... Like, I feel like we can't grasp onto that. It's too simple.
Well, let's talk about that. Why do we as followers of Christ miss that today? Mm. Why do you think it's easy for us to miss that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What comes to mind?
Good question. I think for a lot of us, it's kind of the same exact reason why I thought being at the church and being in full-time ministry was the end all. Like, we over-spiritualize things that are spiritualized. We focus too much on trying to find purpose on our own right. Like, hey, if God wants me to do that, I feel like I'm really good at sales. Maybe I should be in sales. And we kind of put a lot of focus on the temporary. So a lot of, you know, American Christianity right now, you can even go watch the Netflix series, American Gospel, which is kind of talks about this a little bit. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched it yet. Mm-hmm. It's good. But it talks about this whole idea of American Christianity is kind of built on an American Christian or American Christian dream, right? Mm-hmm. The American dream to get more, to be more, to become more. And if I just become a better father, better wife, you know, if I have the right kids, the right car, the right house, then my purpose is met. Is my purpose in a relationship with this woman or man? Is my purpose in this job? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that as Americans that we focus directly on. Mm-hmm. I want to find my purpose, my calling.
Right, right.
But really, if you strip all of that away, mm-hmm. and if you take out all of this idea of my purpose is to be at this point, at this time in my life, and you just focus on God, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Who do you want me to become? Mm-hmm. Who are you calling me to? And God never reveals things just full out. He never mm-hmm. puts the map out and says, here's exactly mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. It's living in those moments where you're not so focused on the temporary. You're not so focused on your job or your family or the things that are happening around you. You're more focused on obedience, even if it's the most uncomfortable thing that right. you are ever being called to be right. obedient to. That is where you find everything that's in your purpose. Mm. And I'm experiencing that, you know, right. in the secular work world, even though the YMCA is a Christian organization, far from being a Christian organization mm-hmm. when it comes to the leadership at the Y. But God is pulling me, and I know millions of other Christians around the world, you, me, we've talked about this, mm-hmm. right, where obedience is the core. It's yeah. the core of it. Purpose, yeah. yes. Purpose can be a buzzword because it sounds great, but at the end of the day, if you put your purpose all in, what kind of job, what church do I work at, what ministry do I get involved with, mm-hmm. and instead you focus on obedience to the neighbors around you, to your workmates, to the people in your life, to mm-hmm. the experiences God's calling you to, that's what really,
yeah.
I feel like covers.
Yeah. No, I my thought to the question I asked was, I think we as followers of Christ often stop listening after we take that first step in obedience. We get that confirmation. We get that answer. We, you know, we're excited about it. You know, we're living that. And then we stop listening. Yeah. Like, well, this has got to be your thing.
God. Yeah, you're
this,
right.
This is my end. Yeah. This is everything you've given me. When, again, just the stories you shared, certainly not the case.
Can't be.
No.
It can't be the end.
No. What our step is obedience, mm. and God will continue to reveal His purpose, right? Mm. That He's created us for.
Oh, dude, I agree.
That's awesome. So, one last question.
Yeah.
You know, looking back to all of our listeners, you know, what through your story, through your, you know, your experiences and things that God has revealed to you, what encouragement would you give to anybody who's watching this? You know, if they're struggling to say, I'm not really sure what my purpose is. Like, I hear love God, love others, and the Great Commission, you know, make disciples. I'm still trying to figure out what that means, you know, and I'm not really sure, you know, what my purpose is. You know, what encouragement would you give them, seriously, today?
That's good. Gosh, okay, so, you know, 28 years old, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. it's cool that that's a question you ask. It's a question, not necessarily a question, it was a conversation I had with one of my staff today, literally, just told you about this a minute ago, but her and I were talking, she's a believer, so we talk often about just things of faith, and it just pops out of nowhere, and I start talking about, like, hey, you know, tonight, I can't wait, because I get to talk about purpose, and I get to talk about obedience, and how they intermingle, but how one is actually greater than the other. Obedience is greater than what's the word? Why am I forgetting already? Purpose. Sorry. Thank you. Obedience is greater than purpose.
The thing we're talking about.
Whatever. It's not that important. And it was great really cool because her son had her, both of her sons are, one's in college and her second son that was the last kid in her family just left for college. Right. And so she's like every parent, there's parents listening to this. You understand your kid is gone. You don't know what to do now. Like mm-hmm. I was a homemaker for all of this time. And all of a sudden, everything that I ever have done is completely gone. My seeming, you know, my temporary seeming purpose seems to be shifting a little bit. What do I do? And so it was cool because she didn't bring this up to me. She didn't tell me she was feeling this way, but I just started talking about obedience. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, you have to, like, this is what I'm feeling, that America and Christians in America are starting to shift and understand that, you know, purpose is a great thing to focus on, but being obedient to whatever God's calling me to do in this moment, in this season, is far greater than that. She had this moment where her eyes, she just like literally was like, wow, that's actually really good. Right. And I'm like, it wasn't for me. I've been reading, I've been watching videos. Like, I'm telling you, this is not for me. This is not Nick. This is completely, the Spirit is teaching this to millions of people right now.
Yeah.
And she was just like, that is so relieving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if anything, this is my encouragement. You're not going to fulfill a purpose in your life that's going to satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we ever get to a point of fulfilling something, getting a car, you know, having a beautiful home, having a great family, those are all means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you're going to get to the point where there's that hole that's going to pop back up in your heart where you're like, I finally achieved this, but it's not as good as I thought it would be.
Right.
I mean, I got my purpose down. Like for me, I achieved ministry. I could have gone on for years and years and years and done, and maybe I will one day, maybe my heart has to shift before that happens. But maybe it's not necessarily about those things. Maybe it's not about me getting to the point of where I feel like I have completely fulfilled God's purpose in my life, or even my purpose that I think, like
right.
you said, partial listening.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's it. My encouragement is obedience never can ever run out. Your kids could never get to a point where they are done being obedient to you and they've fulfilled their obedience.
Right.
Oh, you've been obedient 100% for the last 10 years. You're off the hook for the rest of your life.
Right.
You can't get to 65 retired and just blow your whole rest of your life on your golf swing. You can't, like, that's not that's not how gospel works.
Mm-hmm.
So my encouragement, obedience. If God's calling you to talk to your neighbor, if God is calling you to talk to that coworker, to have that difficult conversation, if God is calling you, maybe, I mean, this could be a radical call, but people are called all the time to go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
People are called all the time to go into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not a knock on ministry. If God's calling you to go to Bible college, go to Bible college, you know? But our goal and our purpose in life isn't for us to determine what our purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to be completely obedient and subservient to God, to what his glory, what brings him glory, and really just to love our neighbors.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Great Commission says this, but even Jesus says this when he's talking about the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
And so I feel like a lot of people could find freedom in that, because I'm finding freedom. My wife's finding freedom. I don't have to build my purpose. I don't have to find it. I can honestly find that just me being obedient to God is enough, and he'll reveal it like he did David. And to throw what you said in earlier, scripture, we as people, and I'm so guilty of this, but we ask these questions, where am I supposed to be obedient, or how am I supposed to find my purpose?
Right.
Yet we keep our eyes completely off of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, God's word, the only okay. thing that actually will provide us with any type of guidance and any type of hope and any type of truth is found within God's word.
Yep.
And if you don't every single day open that thing up, look at it, and meditate on what he's saying. Not take snippets, not take John 3:16 and Jeremiah 29:11 as a cute little verse and put it on your bumper. If you actually get into God's word and hear and read what he's saying to you, the Spirit speaks loudly when you have those words meditating
Amen.
In your mind.
Amen.
You've probably experienced that.
Amen.
You're sitting
Amen.
There in a car and something pops up that you read earlier in the week and you're like, that's why you had me say that. I'm going to stop and help this guy fill his tire up on the side of the road. Like, even though I might get murdered, right? Obedience. I don't know. I'm not saying don't do. That's not a thing, maybe.
Yeah.
But
no, that's good. That's good. And I appreciate the tie to the Word of God. Like, we're not going to, you know, get there and understand God's purpose through obeying if we don't know what
no.
we are to obey, right?
No, you're
and
right.
Obedience comes through knowing the Word of God.
100%, man.
And depositing it in our hearts. Well, Nick, thank you. Can I ask you to close us
yeah,
in
dude.
Prayer really
Let's
quick?
Pray.
And
Let's pray.
I appreciate your time, brother.
I appreciate
Let's
being
pray.
Here. Let's pray.
Right.
God, we are just thankful that you have even called us as a people to come and to share your goodness and to share your grace and to share the gospel with the world. We're just thankful that you've even given us the life that we have, that we don't have any reason to deserve it. No matter how hard we try, we don't deserve any of this, Lord. We thank you that you give us a reason to live, that you give us the Great Commission as purpose, that you give us the reason to love our neighbors, to love you with everything in us, to bring you glory in everything we do as the reason we exist. And so tonight, I pray that you would just be with any person individually or collectively as a family that may be watching this, that you would remind them that you are completely in control of everything, and all you're asking for them to do is to be obedient. There's that one thing that we're struggling with doing, or that one thing that we're just not sure we want to do. We don't have the confidence. We don't have the boldness. We think we don't have the ability, but you're calling us to be obedient. And so I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would give them and push them into the whole realm of understanding what it means to be obedient. Help us not to get so focused on just temporal purpose. Help us to be completely focused on what you're calling us to do, like David did, like Saul eventually did, and turning into Paul. Lord, I pray you would help us to really realize that your goodness and your call for our life is found in just obeying you. So we love you, Lord. We thank you for the ability to come and speak to you every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
God's purpose is revealed through our obedience. Nick,
good.
Praise God. Love you, brother. Love thanks you, for joining us.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks a lot for joining us, and have a blessed week. We'll see you guys next week.